Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, y'all wanted a twist, eh? Come on, All-Star 6, let's get six-ing!
But do you have a side hustle?
Okay, but do you have a side hustle? Are you a fixer? Are you an exerciser? Are you a private dancer?
I'm a private prancer, honey. The queens are working in teams to create campy TV commercials this week to promote their side hustles.
We love a skit. And on the runway, it's time for a redemption, my love. Do you think some of the dolls need to RuPaul-ologize for their redemption looks?
Honey, I saw the tights and there were skit marks.
Too late to RuPaul-ologize.
It's too late. There's also a lip sync assassin near and dear to our hearts and property lines because we used to live next to the bitch. We're talking about that scene stealing show baby, Little Laganja Estranja is back on our TV for a stunning lip sync battle.
Teal the show. Vroom, vroom. Stay tuned. It's time for
Race Chaser.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser. Woo-hoo. Race Chaser. Yeehaw. Race Chaser. Woo-hoo. Race Chaser. Yeehaw.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome back to Race Chaser. A podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. Starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
My name's Alaska. What's yours?
Ooh, I'm Willem.
May the best drag queen win.
As long as we invited them to participate.
I am into the new theme song, and I want them to release a full-length version.
I heard it's a live band. That's not a MIDI cut.
No joking. The Drag Race full-length song is one of my favorite RuPaul songs. It bangs. It really bangs. There's a full-length version on, I believe it's on Champion. It's really good.
I wonder who wrote it.
Take it to the top. Make it pop nonstop. It's really good. That's our rainbow spotlight of the week by this up-and-coming artist named RuPaul.
RuPaul Charles.
You got to know her in Wee Wee Pole, but now she's got a solo career.
She stumbled during Star Booty, but she's back.
Tell us what happened last week on the show called Drag Race.
Speaking of being back, last week the All-Star Girls threw a blue ball. RuPaul asked the divas to serve up, 36 looks, and it was a good goddamn show.
36.
In addition to what they brought from home, each girl had to construct a blue ball look with unconventional materials and corsets and undergarments from home. Raja had some anxiety, but eventually won the challenge, while Jiggly and Yara landed in the bottom for two completely different reasons. Brooklyn Heights was the lip sync assassin, and while her travel wig waited in the back, she tied with Raja. So both lipsticks were revealed, and they both said Jiggly. So she hit the house, or at least until the twist is revealed.
Oh, y'all wanted a twist, eh?
Jiggly actually already talked to me, and she said it's not a twist, it's a crescent roll.
I love that.
And it's calorie conscious, too. They offered spread and butter.
Calorie Kardashian conscious.
yes, very that. So this week, it's the side hustle.
Wait a second. I know we're going to go over time, but I don't care. Wait a second. Why the fuck did they have Coco Montrese come in and do a Bruno Mars song? And then the next week, they throw the Janet song in.
It missed me much. I don't know.
It just seems like, did something schedule? Maybe something scheduling happened. That seems weird to me.
I think they finally got clearance for Coco's talent show number, and that's what it was.
Finally.
But they got it for the wrong week. They got it for Brooklyn. So they just said, Coco, you know what? Do this Bruno Mars song. And she said, okay, because she's a trooper.
Also, double episode, 36 looks. We're being waterboarded by drag, and I'm here for it. Two episodes in one night. One of them is a ball. One of them is a talent extravaganza, reading challenge, twists.
I'll never get tired of it. I'm thrilled for it. I had to take a nap before this podcast because there was so much drag. After I rewatched Laganja doing her doing all of the moves of Cirque du Soleil, I had to take a nap. I took a nap because I got tired. I was like, ooh, she put me out.
She put me out.
And then it was basically watching Trinity's Continental Talent again because she threw in those 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, I saw that.
You saw that too?
I saw that. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that in segment 4. We're on for the side hustle.
Yes. And we join the dolls right after Jiggly's elimination. Raja's really happy. She just won $20,000. Nothing to be mad about there.
And I feel like it's $25,000 though, wasn't it? Because it was $20 for the lip sync, and then there was $5,000 for something else. Didn't she get $5,000 for something else?
Was that the prize? I don't remember.
I feel like $5,000 was this week for something. Like, she got something. Because I remember thinking, oh, that's season one's prize right there.
Like, not mad at all. Raja explains why she chose Jiggly and not Yara. And she thinks that Yara has more to show. And then everyone pulls out their lipsticks. And there are 9 votes for Jiggalina and 2 votes for Yara. So we
know who the Yara votes are. The Yara votes were obviously Jiggly, and then it's revealed that Trinity voted for Yara too because she said her decision was motivated by time management. But the side eyes are saying Miss Sonique's side eye says she thinks that Yara picked Trinity because Trinity picked Yara last week.
Because Trinity said it herself. She said, I get it, but I'm not gonna forget it. Okay. She said it. And then she was like, well, I thought Jiggly worked on her thing more time. And so now she's like, oh shit, now she like is really elucidating for us, the viewer, that like this really is a game of like every single movement of your eyes, or are you laughing at this joke and not at that joke? It really is all kind of playing in.
And if you're not following the dolls on Twitter, you're only getting half the story.
Wait, what happened on Twitter?
Oh, girl. So, Miss Silky gave an interview talking about how she thought Jan was the worst in the talent show because Jan lip-synced during the talent show. But then Jan had to refocus those statements and say, I spoke to Silky. We're sisters. I set her straight on some things. I had a track which had my vocals on it, 100% verse, 30% chorus, like any pop star. But whatever they chose to show, they chose to show. But Jan did, in fact, sing live, and her dancing was live. Which she chose to say, too. It's like, how could the dancing be fake, Jan?
I usually use a backing track for my dancing. So, wow.
But also, Silky was saying that it was one of those things where most of the girls agreed that Serena didn't do the worst in the talent show, that Trinity did the worst in the talent show, but they didn't. It was one of those things where they felt pressure to vote for Serena because if not, they thought that their heads would be on the chopping block later. That's Silky was very clear about it. And then she was going back and forth with Trinity on Twitter about it. And then Trinity said, because I have the time, and she would break it down. So I don't know what they're all fighting about. Like,
well,
it's just drag. And
Well, you know, Twitter, you know, no one talks shit in Untucked anymore. So I'm glad Twitter exists. And I'm glad we can get a little bit of the girls fighting. And it's fine. And, you know, this will all pass, you know?
It will pass. And it's been real. You may call me Jiggly.
That's what Jiggly wrote us on the lipstick message. And I believe it was Ruby Woo lipstick, if I'm guessing the shade of lipstick.
I think.
Or is it Russian Red?
I think Russian Red would be more classic, especially to make those white teeth pop.
My white teeth are popping. They're popping out of my head.
Blue base red. You are the American flag. Red hair, blue eyes, white teeth. You're a cool whip cake. Fresh
girl,
berries.
Cool whip. We get a video message.
Remember our pony?
Cool whip. Oh, the pony's name was
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip. Oh, I miss that pony. I used him to glue down my brows last week.
Oh my god, you're a dog.
Yeah, she stole my hair. What does this video message say?
My all-stars, those who can do, do. And those who can't, better ask somebody. Because it do take skills to pay your bills. Call the Drag Race Hall of Fame hotline now. Operators are standing by.
I thought she was going to make the girls do a masterclass.
Oh, God.
But thankfully, there's no one to advise on that. So Rue just comes into the workroom wearing florals with a big bow around her neck. So the voice message is challenging and unclear. But Rue comes in and announces that today the girls for the Maxi Challenge will star in teams and write commercials that sell a sickening side hustle.
Yes. Which still is a little confusing to me, but the girls make it, they make it work and they make it happen and do a great job. So to determine the teams, this is interesting. The queens line up from shortest to tallest.
Mm-hmm. So the short girls are Ginger, Akiria, Jan, and Silky.
Uh-huh.
The drag fixers. We have Trinity, Pandora Box, Yada, and Raja O'Hara.
And then the tall dolls. We've got Kylie, we've got Scarlett, and we've got Eureka. I love Eureka O'Hara because she is a mountain of a person. She is so tall.
A beacon of beauty.
She is. And standing next to her, I feel so tiny and short. I feel so short.
I love it. When she comes over to visit me, I can see her up on Hollywood Boulevard before she gets to my place.
Oh, I'm so tiny.
Tinty. She's
like dancing with Boy Radio in Divatronic. I mean, literally, he's just like 6 foot 100. And I'm just like, I'm so little.
What about standing up?
Enough about the 6 feet. Tell me about the 7 inches. Oh.
The girls are told that they can use shoes from fiercequeen.com.
They better, because they're going to ruin those Marabu slides. They're going to ruin those poor things with duct tape, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, the queens, I like their dockets and their directives.
Their dockets and their ducats.
Hopefully their dockets will get them some ducats. This Rent-A-Queen service, many girls have been leased out by the hour or the engagement, whether it be for an event, whether the event is in within them, or the event spurts forth from them. Some are event based queens.
Pandora is really in her element here, and she's really taking the lead with the Fix It Bitch team, because she comes up with the phrase Fix It Bitch. She's done commercials for local television in Rochester, which has primed her for this moment.
She's been training for this moment. Oh, this is her moment. She was in charge of tourism for the greater Darien Lake area for years.
Yes, the Darien Lake Tourism Board. But really, Pandora's very funny, and it's really, this is ultimately kind of a writing challenge, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean,
they aren't given a lot.
They're given yellow pads. Mm-hmm. And they said, here, girls, write in these. We're going to look at them later for some notes. Some of the girls explain that Yara just wants to talk about farting on her dick, which is like,
yes,
drag. She's like, why if I have your dick so big, you fart on it?
Yara's wild, and they're giving her the Trinity's like, Yara is an eclectic person. And then we see Yara cutting her tongue with giant scissors, running around the room, just a free spirit. She doesn't march to the beat of her own drum. She's
got an 808 in her pocket somewhere.
She is the boom boom drum.
Honey. Baby.
We're going to take a break. Oh, God, Yara's here.
Fix it, bitch.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite. And you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app. We are back, and you know what? Let's not rehearse. Let's not do any, like, written lines. Let's just kind of, like, go off each other. You know what I mean? Like, in the moment.
If you see me struggling, just jump in and say something.
Yeah, like, I don't think we should, like, waste time, like, writing, like, like, lines.
I don't know how many demons there are. Just get here.
We've got... Kylie is trepidatious because the because Scarlett and Eureka are just like, yeah, why don't we just wing it? We'll just go in there and, like, we're funny. Funny people.
I mean, Scarlett seems to think she's doing these basically like bicep curls, and she's like, these are crunches. And then someone says, that's not a crunch. And she's like, yes, they are. What are they then? And they're like, those are bicep curls. She's like, oh.
Sounds like math to me.
Yeah, Scarlett is that equation happening live every time she speaks.
Yeah, that's, she definitely is.
The Pythagorean theorem upside down a little bit.
The wheels are turning.
Kylie makes this face where it's like the face where she sucks in and then she looks both ways like, Is someone going to notice that I'm not down?
She's like,
we need to rehearse.
She's like, I'm in a danger sandwich right now. I mean, it's literally a checklist of everything that can go wrong in a challenge. Do we think that Scarlett looks like Alicia Silverstone in her confessional? Out of drag, she looks like Alicia Silverstone.
I'm glad you're saying her name right, A.
Mm-hmm.
And B, kind of.
It ain't Alicia. Alicia Silverstone.
I definitely think that she kind of does look like her. But she also kind of looks like a lesbian DJ at their wedding.
Hot. I love that.
Soft sculpture, silk blazer moment.
Soft sculpture. I went to art school. I know these things. Okay.
Read a book. Like,
really just, could you just educate yourself, please? Silky is having a struggle. And I understand this because she's very much informing her journey this time around based on sort of the fan reaction to her last time around. And it's kind of fucking with her.
Well, when she first gets to the team with Ginger, Akiria, and Jan, she says, I've been waiting to be on a winning team. Then it immediately kind of goes into this self-doubt thing. It seems like she's self-producing as she's going, but she does mention that she had bookings canceled and horrible things written to her during her season.
Yeah.
And I can bear witness to this a little bit because I'm friends with a couple of the promoters and they were telling me, listen, her tickets aren't selling. We can't do a show if nobody's coming. So we're not going to fly her here to sit at her hotel room because nobody's coming. So if you present something that is manipulated to where people don't like what they see on TV and then they don't want to come to your show, it sucks. But you agreed to have your likeness manipulated with that off chance that it could happen. And it's just it's a crapshoot that she got dealt a bad hand with 11, but they can't use stuff that you don't do too.
Yeah. But yes. And so she's going through an inner turmoil pretty much. And she's like, she's listening to her group sort of like put this, like this thing together, and she has notes, but she's keeping them to herself because she's concerned that she doesn't want to be too much. Like she was told that she was too much on her previous season.
Which I don't get because this script is already doing the most. It's skits on scats. So how is she? I think
Scorsese originally optioned this script.
Honey, she's the Wolfstress of Naw Street. Because she's worried she's not speaking up enough. And then she only gets 3 lines. And then she gives away one of those lines because she changes her outfit too soon. Instead of going, I'll just put on the other outfit.
Yeah.
You know, she's already changed 8 times. It's not hard to change back another time. But she made every choice that is present. So
yeah.
It's up to her to see how it goes once the judges get to it. But I never understood someone who tries to go on a reality show and not get camera time. So
right. And I was never mad at Silky for how she behaved on her original season. I thought that she was wild. But you know what? Sometimes queens are pissed, or other cast members are pissed, because you're the one who's getting all the camera time by being very exuberant and over the top. And it's kind of what you have to do a little bit.
Yeah, tell Bianca that, because she was, you know, with Ganja that in season 6. And Ganja was just trying to get screen time too. And Ganja dealt with people's backlash. So it's one of those things that can go both ways, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
On the set,
I once did a drag look where I put 301s all the way down my spine. But I got a lot of backlash.
Oh, my God. You're an idiot. You're an did your brown eye water?
Yes. Yeah, because I use Natty's weave glue for it.
Oh God.
So we're on the set. Daphne's on the set. We're on the set with Ross Matthews and Michelle Visage. Okay, we're on the set. Drag fixers. Yara, oh, there's so much meat in here. I could make a sandwich.
Yara, you're not supposed to, it's not funny though. You're not supposed to laugh. That is funny.
Okay, that was just for the nerves. Overall, they're doing a good job. They're keeping it together on the team fixers.
The team fixers girls, they seem to have it. They said, okay, we'll do the voiceover first. And then Raja and Pandora say, fix it, bitch. And they're like, that was great.
Great. No notes. Perfect.
Let's move on.
Freeze it. Yeah, cut, print done. It. Exercise queens. This is about demonic exorcism, but also doing a workout.
Mm-hmm. I love some wordplay, which it seems they based all of this off of.
There's a lot of words at play.
There's slow words at play. I do know that the girls are wearing wigs by Vanity, Tinsel Collections.
Ooh, yeah, I clocked. Love that.
One of them is even hand-rooted.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. You know why.
They look great. Eureka looks really cool. She breaks the bed. I watched this at Precinct, and it was getting a lot of laughs. Eureka took it there. And it was working in the room, for sure.
Eureka used all of her abilities to deliver a great performance. Scarlett was confused, but that led to a great performance also. When she said, no, you need to have 3 firstborn, Michelle. I think I know how babies work. Just like, it was very, okay, Scarlett.
See? Yes, yeah. It's a writing challenge. And like, it really came down to changing that line to or your firstborn. Yeah. And they were like, $69. Well, if they're doing satanic, it could have been $666.69. But it comes down to, it's a fucking writing challenge.
And Scarlett was wronging.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
But it all worked out in the end. Eureka broke the bread. Broke the bed, sorry.
She broke bread with her sisters.
Michelle and Ross just keep getting, they're just like one-lining each other up. She's like, I broke a bed. She's like, what's a gym? Oh wow.
Yeah.
It's
They're those two puppets. They're the Muppets. Muppet Show.
Yeah. Rottenstein and Gorgenstein or whoever.
Yeah, very much that.
Very them. Let's get into the Rent-A-Queen service or Raw.
Girl,
Raw?
They're doing.
Sorry, that's meant to be Rack.
I see what's on your mind. Just kidding.
Raw is law.
Oh, I miss Jiggly. I miss Jiggly.
Jesus Christ.
There are so many scenes in this script. They have a funeral scene. They have a club scene. They have, I feel like, a balcony scene. A cooking scene.
The girls are in drag. Then they get out of drag. How did Ginger and Jan get out of drag so fast? How long did they have to shoot this? It takes me longer to get out of drag than it does to get in drag.
Well, Ginger spurted lotion on her face, so maybe she like used the lotion to take off the rest of her face.
Oh, but that's true.
Also, when she played Richard Simmons, why was her voice low like a frog when Richard's voice is higher than Ginger's natural voice? And this is coming from someone who knows Richard, so...
Well, because she was doing Richard Slimmons, not Richard Simmons.
Oh, I get it now. My bad.
It was a high concept character.
I get it.
Crazy sticks to me like ribs.
Have either of you ever received a script for a project and you're like, this is too much? Y'all are trying too much, too many scenes and changes.
Well, I got the outline today.
Usually I'm the person who's written the script that's too much.
I mean, did you see the storyboard when they walked in? The one storyboard was like single spaced, and it was just like they had so many notes on it on Pandora's team. So, I mean, prior preparation prevents piss poor preparedness or something. I don't know.
Performance.
Peas and peas and peas. Fresh snap peas.
Honey, fresh snap peas. Yeah. So the next day, the girls are chatting in the mirror. They're getting into. Oh, fine. We'll take a break.
I don't know if you're gonna do more about this scene, but yeah, let's take a
break. We should. Silky already knows that she's gonna be in the bottom. She's like, they're gonna get me at the end of her scene. She says, I gave away my line. She can tell.
You can see it in her face.
It's Destiny Child's first album, The Writing's on the Wall.
Yeah. Well, do you think she could have asserted and put her foot down and said, you know what? No, just hold on a second. I'll do the line.
She could have, and she made a choice not to. So,
but then they could have edited it to look like she was delaying production and showed everyone hemming and hawing while she changed her goal. Oh, my God. It's taking so long. So, she was damned if she did or didn't.
I'm not sure how it would have played out either way, but I do know that any chance to be on camera is a chance that I would say yes to. If I came on a reality TV show. So they're going to
show the product. They're going to show the commercial and they're going to be like, where were you? You know,
I mean, the impetus falls to her and I think that's the right word. And
I was impetus once.
And then you got Blue Chew. You want us to take another goddamn break?
No, this is the break we didn't take.
Oh,
because you said I have something to say about Silky.
No.
Back from the break, we'll do the next day.
No, you're not having my. So wait, when will this air?
I don't know how Will is going to edit this.
When will this air?
When will this
tomorrow?
Air?
Tomorrow. What are you talking about?
No. You tried to get me. No. You want me to change my outfit again and host another podcast?
I have no idea what's going on. Are we back from break now?
No, we never took the break because you said I have one more thing to say about Silky.
I was going to say it when I was back from my break. After I had my Fiji artisanal water.
My back is breaking for this.
Now we're keeping this all in so the kids get a peek behind the curtain.
Episode 24, hoes.
Okay, so now we'll take a break.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And now we're back next day.
Oh, now we're back?
Okay, so I guess we're back.
Did you have a nice break?
I did.
I had a lovely break.
I did. Spring break.
Yeah.
The next day, the dolls are chatting in the mirror and getting ready. And how the fuck are these girls allowed to say, I'll give you $1,000 if I win, if you give me $1,000? I get red for filth for trying to bribe a bitch, and this happens in plain sight.
Honey, talking finance is always fickle. You never talk numbers with people unless they're financing or fucking you.
No romance without finance. I'm just kidding. They're obviously joking. I don't think they're actually. Yes, Ginger was just. Ginger
they're
was
joking if
around.
They think they're gonna win. That's what the joke is. because they're not on the top team. I'll tell you that.
Raja was like, "Oh, you guys have something going on. How cute. Oh, how nice."
I have a question. I've never seen a girl paint on her eyebrows before she covered up her other eyebrows, the way that Silky's doing.
She was letting it dry.
Was she?
Yes, I was trying to figure out what was going
on.
There
was glue underneath. There was glue on the boy brow.
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
The day brow.
Because then I saw her her put like pan stick over it, and I was like, is she just doing furry brow crease?
We've all done it. Well, I do all the time, but maybe you haven't.
I was the one that gave you the idea to do it, and then Sharon yelled at me because you were doing it.
Wait, you gave me the idea to do it?
Remember, I would just put white cream in my thing, and you said, did you just... And I said, yeah, why? And she said, oh. And then you started doing it, and Sharon said that you got the idea from me and my ugly brows, because when I was just doing Nub Queen moments.
Yes. Yes, a little bit, because sometimes it's like, if you're going to be far away from it or it's on a webcam, like, why do you need glue stick? My fucking crease goes where my normal brow goes. So, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Is that Yara?
Right.
Yara is a walking onomatopoeia, honestly. She can make any noise. Silky is definitely talking about all the hate that she received during season 11 from fans, colleagues, promoters. And she had a plan to show the world a new version of herself on All Stars. And she's basically saying how her self-producing isn't working so far. And everything that's going on in her head, she's expressing. Kind of how Thorgy did when Thorgy came back. So it's nice to see her thought process. But the show's editing isn't doing her any favors.
Thought process available on iTunes, Jiggly Caliente's album.
Oh, yeah.
THOT process. Let's take it to the runway, because RuPaul is giving us... This is like...
Indigo Fantasy.
Yes.
Violet Vixen. It's such a rich purple.
Yes. She looks phenomenal. This kind of reminds me of like sort of a revamp of something from like, I think like season one. It's just a classic.
The face is very Matthew. She's got like a gray eye with a purple contour. She is looking so good. Michelle's looking very much in her vintage. Ross's jacket is this beautiful plaid. They all look really great. I'm glad to see that Tia's there and not Tamara, because Tamara was the one that was mad that Bert and Ernie were gay. And then she got fired from the chop or the chat or the whatever.
Well,
the real?
Yeah, that one.
See you tomorrow. No, yes, Tia. Every time RuPaul says Tia, I was just like, Tia. Yeah. The runway, we get a great runway. It's the redemption. So it's a chance to do over past fashion fails. What would you do if you did a redo?
Well, I recently did my redo on my YouTube channel, and my redo was the magazine challenge. And what I did is I just found a magazine that I was on the cover of where these people for this Batgirl comic used my picture when there was a storyline about a drag queen dressing up as Batgirl. And it was an unhinged man revealed at the end. But the cover is definitely me. So I dressed up as it. But these girls weren't, and you can check that out on my YouTube.
Unhinged. Enough about your jaw.
these girls were not able to select what runways they were going to redo. They were told which runways they were to redo.
What?
Yes. And
they didn't get a choice.
Nope. They were not given a choice.
That's.
These
weird,
girls were told what they were doing, and I disseminated this because A, I podcast, and B, I follow the girls on Twitter and Instagram, and there were hints that I followed the breadcrumb trail, and I said, wait, so this is not the look that you wanted to redo? And I was told no by one of the girls, and then another girl wore one of my wigs, and she told me too. She said that this is what was assigned.
Yeah, because I guess I was wondering like why so many of the girls did their promo look. Because that just...
Yara did her promo look.
And entrance.
Yeah.
Yara, Trinity. What did Ginger do? Ginger needs to redo whatever she just did again.
Well, let's watch the runway and react. So, Neek, we start out, and she looks so amazing. And I literally just clocked that her glasses say trust, which is her signature saying as Lady Gaga. Trust.
Oh yeah,
money, honey.
And she is wearing B Kala and also hair by Zach Killian, wigstress to the stars, including Beyonce, Sonique, Alaska, the girls.
And isn't this garment the actual one that Lady Gaga wore?
Yes,
on something.
Yes, it
what
is.
What did she? What did she wear it on?
I don't know. We'll just get Sonique to ask Gaga.
Chromatica live stream that she did for Paper Magazine.
Yes, and she wore
all the different looks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the looks. And the Lady Hyde is now doing Gaga. Yeah.
Going Gaga.
The Lady Hyde had a gorgeous Gaga look from this weekend. Shout out to our sister.
Absolutely.
Holding a pizza box, signing Chromatica vinyls.
Honey, you want a pizza me. Scarlett, Tina, and Varela
Wow.
I watched this at Precinct, and I'm telling you, the room went up with this look. And I think she looks absolutely phenomenal. Whether it's a redo or a redo or whatever, it's just phenomenal.
This is another entrance look that that was redone by the girls. And I guarantee you there will be, RuPaul probably said, Scarlett, come to the end of the runway. Let me get a selfie of this for Zaldi. Because RuPaul will be in an outfit like this next week.
Yep. Stop relying on that Botticelli. That's so funny, dude.
Scarlett looks great. Major props to her. And the designer, I forget their name, but amazing. Just the best I've ever seen Scarlett look.
Yeah, really stunning. Eureka, is it wrong that I like the original look better? She looks great, but I didn't think the original look was bad.
I didn't think the original look was bad either. I like this look more because it's Marco Marco, but
work.
And there's more stones on it, but it's a weird That's choice. True. Like, why is she having to redo this?
Right. I mean, it was very similar to the original, sort of a more streamlined, like, focused version of it. So she looks amazing. I didn't understand what was wrong in the first place. Yeah.
Well, the next one more illustrates the point. Raja goes from farm to runway in season 11 when she was, she went from yard waste to yard taste because she looks beautiful now. She's streamlined. She looks like a gorgeous, it went from like a $29.99 bouquet to like $159 bouquet.
Right, you select the deluxe on the, on the flower. Yeah,
yeah. And Sunday delivery.
Oh, yeah, Sunday delivery, mama.
Yeah.
She looks great. She looks Groot. She looks fabulous. She looks like, you know, she is that tree that she always knew she would be.
Mm-hmm.
She looks good.
Yara does her season 3 promo look.
What about Pandora?
Oh, sorry. This is a look that she wouldn't have done unless prompted. It's a redo of her Team Unity All-Stars 1 look.
Yes.
I told her she should have just come out with Mimi's head on a stick.
That would have been really funny and cool. I mean, macabre and gross, but great. She looks pretty. It's definitely taking the color palette and sort of reimagining it as like a softer side of that. And she looks pretty. She looks like Elsa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yara redoes her season 3 promo look, which is basically a black look with blonde hair. Yes. One leg.
Where she looked sickening, but.
Yeah, her first look was fine. The only thing I could say is maybe it's, if you looked at it, you could say that it was definitely from like 2010.
Yes.
But classic black, not bad. She looks beautiful. Now she looks even cooler. Yara 3.0 for sure.
I love Yara's promo look from her original season. It's so good and sickening, and she looks phenomenal again, so God bless her. Next we have Trinity, who also doing a season 6 promo look,
and this is, she says, if the Met Gala was like vampire goth theme.
Yes.
I love her headpiece. I don't see what there was to redo on her entrance look, but okay, we'll go with it.
Yeah. She just elevated. It's like the Pokemon evolution. She took it up a notch with the headpiece, with the styling. She looks beautiful and scary and spooky and pretty.
Yeah. Jan redoes her entrance look, which was a cheerleader type of backpack.
Yes.
Pretty girl goes to high school look. What do you think of this?
She's turned it into a gown, which I think is an elevation, taking it from a short dress to a gown. Maybe a backpack, could have just to like, if we're really hammering home the backpack, just let her have a backpack with a gown. Why not? No,
I just don't think she's doing herself any favors. No one ever says, no one ever says, make me look older.
Okay, what, you think the hair makes her look older?
I think the hair, the silhouette, kind of, you lose her shape in it a little bit. It's a lot of fabric, the athletic ribbing. It was
for our pleasure.
Somebody ribbing. Liked it.
Some good-natured ribbing.
Yeah. Good-natured, now you're talking about Raja.
Ginger is redoing her All Stars in Space Future of Drag. I just saw a red wig and a silver dress.
Honey, there's so she okay, it looks like if Mr. Tumnus had a thyroid problem and wanted to go as Davina for Mr. Halloween. Tumnus. Because this like pant thing with a bodysuit over it, it just shows off the curves in a way that Ginger is just blithely unaware of maybe what the best silhouette is for someone who's on the shorter side, as she is. Her wig is as tall as she is wide, which is great. Okay. Her hair looks great from her first chin up. I love it.
I think that maybe the pants is what sort of loses.
Maybe.
Okay. But in her defense, this is the future of drag.
Put it behind the fence. Yeah.
So maybe in the future, like, people wear ruched pants.
No.
Maybe that's what she's selling. No. She didn't want to do a typical silhouette.
Stop being irresponsible. We have listeners.
So what would you have suggested she did?
Eliminated herself. Honestly,
legs out and like a little pussy doodly doodle.
If you're gonna
similar to the last time,
if you're gonna wear a bodysuit and you want to wear a pant, the pant needs to go over the crotch, and then you ride the pant low so you can see a little peek of hip, or like a thong peek out.
So you've seen me in the video for Gay Hands Up.
Oh yes, I have. It's no body summer.
No pad summer, my love.
Yeah, this outfit is just wrong on so many. No one says, yeah, add ruching. Make me look larger.
Fashion is polarizing. And Rosé says that all the time. So how dare you?
Well, Rosé is best viewed in the wide, too. Okay, so don't let make me go there. Okay. This outfit is... It's perplexing. It is so perplexing. Okay.
Fashion is polarizing.
It's worse than the first one that she's redoing, because the first one, at least there were few but large mistakes. Now there's many broad choice mistakes. There's more mistakes to look at. The hair looks great, and the mask thing is great. And Ginger is my sister, but it's she shouldn't have come out on the runway. Okay. She should have just peeked her head and said, hey guys, hey, I'm back here. I'll talk to you after the judging. That's what it should have been.
Oh my God. Who's next? Silky Nutmeg Ganache, redoing Drag Family Values, the disco look?
Silky wore whatever the fuck she wanted. She said, we still got more red fringe left over from my denim look. Okay, she put said, it in honey, this.
I'm the red fringe girl. The red fringe girl is here. And she's feeling the fantasy. She looks great.
It is what the devil would wear if you went to the disco. I love it.
Georgia. The Pyramid Club.
Exactly, yeah.
If Satan himself went to the Pyramid Club.
I love it. I'm not mad at it, but I don't see... I don't see how it relates back to the first outfit.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't relate in any way, unfortunately. But
now, Mystic,
and the judges tell her that later. But she looks great.
Do you think this played into the judging, that she just wore what she wanted to and she didn't redo what they told her to?
I think a little. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, it was. Yeah, it didn't relate and was not wasn't really a redo. I don't think.
Akiria takes the assignment and understands it more perfectly according to Ross, because her first caftan look, they say, wasn't a caftan. In my mind, a caftan is something that is a double-sided sleeve that you can hide drugs and snacks in.
Lady Bunny's clothes.
Oh my God, she called me the other week.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, to make sure I was okay. Aww. It was so great. I loved it.
Hey, honey.
You dead yet?
Yeah, Akiria looks beautiful. So this is a caftan, though.
They say it is, yeah.
Do you agree?
I think a caftan is a double-sided sleeve, not a single-sided sleeve. But I could be wrong.
But it's a caftan that's like kind of open and we see what's underneath, what lies beneath, starring Michelle Pfeiffer.
And Amber Valletta.
Lest we not forget.
We're going to take a break.
Okay.
Well, the judging started at like the 23-minute mark in this episode.
Girl, I know. Which, not mad. Not mad at all.
We get to watch the infotainment that the girls provided us with this episode.
The skits, which RuPaul does refer to it as a skit in this episode. So,
You know what? RuPaul's finally calling a skit a skit.
Exactly. Call a skit. If you want to know, skit from sugar. Okay.
We skits getting around the truth.
Team drag exorcists. Was it funny?
It feels like a corset that was closed with a string that you knew if you untied it once, you would not get it retied. It feels like it understood the assignment. What?
Okay, go on.
It feels it's like so it descriptive. It understood the assignment and it did it and it checked all the boxes, but don't ask it to explain itself.
Yeah.
Just look at it from the front and don't lose eye contact as you walk away with it.
Yeah. Eureka really went there. She really, really went there. She really went there with her performance, and I thought that was the most successful thing, is she was like, and I work at the fucking company now. Eureka's very funny. It had moments.
The drag fixers were very funny.
Very funny.
They were the only commercial that was a commercial. It felt like they were selling something. It felt like something that someone would want to buy or could buy.
Yes.
Not just a broke bread and a dream.
Right. And broke bread and a dream.
Which is the name of Courtney's second memoir.
I want to come over. Are you possessed by a demon?
My bed's broke. Do you have any snacks?
This one was jokes on jokes, and the added element of Trinity K. Bonet as the sort of character, the truth-seeing character who's inside this absurd skit, who's
no,
like,
no, I don't like this.
This isn't good. This is horrible what you're doing.
But Yara looked fierce. That tape thing on Yara, it looked like the leotarded challenge, and she just had some duct tape as a headband. It worked on Yara. Everything works on Yara.
Yeah, it really does. But yeah. Trinity K. Bonet was so funny. And the writing was really funny. There was the call 1-800-2-UGLY.
Too ugly.
even the phone number. It's like jokes on jokes. Really well written. And
for
really
99
well
easy payments of $1 cash up front. Like it was funny. It was loaded with jokes. And we know how I love anything loaded. What did you think of Team Rent-A-Queen? Too much script? Not enough script?
Team Rent-A-Cop, the movie starring Liza Minnelli and Burt Reynolds. Have you ever heard of that?
No, that sounds horrible.
Liza Minnelli plays a hooker, and Burt Reynolds has to protect her.
You know that Liza Minnelli, they were palling around with the idea of making her Evita in the 80s in a movie?
I would be here for that casting. I'd be here for that.
You know, I worked with her, right?
On what?
Arrested Development.
I love her.
There's a photo. I think we put the photo on the Instagram a long, long time ago.
Yeah, I look
because you had a disposable camera, right?
Yes, I did, and I look like if one of the statues from Easter Island came to life and put a wig on and had a beard. I look so booger down clown.
You were like in the background of a gay bar.
Let's talk about more of my work.
Background work.
Background gay bar work.
Damn. Speaking of background work, Team Rent-A-Queen. Do you think this was... I thought it was a little meandering as far as the vision. Only because it was like, it started out with like, we're going to do like sex puns. And then it abandoned that concept and became like something else. So it was like there was like a lot there was a lot going on.
Yeah, I feel like the best moments were when people were just being naturally funny and not everybody on the team is naturally funny out there with a bright shining spotlight on them. Some people are best when they play off of each other and in a non-scripted capacity. They're more charming and humorous than necessarily straight up funny.
Right. And it was watchable.
It was,
you know,
yeah.
I didn't change the channel by any means.
I couldn't change the channel. I was streaming. Paramount Plus. Rue tells the girls that they're going to be judged as teams. And then she says, Team Fix-It-Bitch won.
Hallelujah. And then they're all like kind of sad because they all want to talk to Tia Mowry. They're all like, oh, bye. Oh, man. Like, Tia's like, I don't get to talk to the girls who did good. Fuck. Okay. But yes, the Fix-It girls win. And the top all-star of the week is Trinity K. Bonet, who wins a cash prize of $5,000.
And this is her first time winning anything ever, she says.
That's amazing. I love to see that.
Me too.
Because she's awesome.
I'm happy for her. I love the moment where she's in the confessional after nobody congratulates her. And she looks north, south, east, west, northwest, southeast, southwest, and northeast. She looks all over for a compliment. And she's like, when she came in, you complimented her. When she came in, you complimented her. And when I came in, y'all start pleading your case. In this case, there were four people in the bottom instead of two people in the bottom. So all the bottom girls, it's edited to look like they all just immediately started pleading their case. And Raja tries to jump in and say, well, you all were in here first, so the circumstances are different. And then Trinity says, no, Raja, let me have my moment. And then Raja goes into... Let me see how to play this. And she takes her step back and she watches her garden grow for a moment. And then she does the most appropriate thing ever and says, let's have a toast for Trinity.
Yes. She middle childs the fuck out of it. And honey, I understand.
I love it. Are you a middle child?
Yes, I'm in the middle. Hmm. And so, yes, she's like, let's choose harmony over conflict in this moment. And I thought Raja dealt with it very nicely. But I also understand Trinity's like Trinity's reaction, because these hoes are like, okay, so I think I did good and there was really nothing I could have done differently. And they're like, it's like someone's going off script. No, you have to take a moment to say, yes, the girl who won, good job. Now let's cry.
Maybe not everybody thought that, though.
Okay, well, did they watch the commercial? Because she did really, she stood out.
I mean, I saw what they showed us. If I had my way, I don't know if I would have given it to her or her whole team, because she wouldn't have said those words unless Pandora wrote them, probably, and put them on the paper and organized the whole fix it bitch thing in general. So, I mean, I think Pandy deserved, Pandy handled it elegantly also in Untucked, where she admitted basically what I just said, but, I'm happy for Trinity's win regardless, but. You know,
I think too.
I think they use that as a specific thing for giving her the win, because they knew who she would vote for.
Right. Well,
Because when it pays
to have conflict on reality TV.
When the girls walked in and they're talking all that stuff, Trinity literally, when Silky is trying to explain herself, says, "Take a breath, don't worry, I'm sending you home." She doesn't say that last part, but she does. So,
let's get into that because the sort of deliberations is sort of a supercut of Trinity saying, "You know what? Don't worry. No, you're fine. You're a legend. You're totally fine.
You have your luggage tags, right?
In my eyes, you're fine." And then she gets to Ginger and she's like, "So do you feel like a bottom?" No, I do not. Well, you need to change your energy.
Giving big bottom energy.
And Ginger's like, I'm so sorry.
And this is after Ginger says there's not one thing she could have done different, because her judge's critique is great. Michelle doesn't love her look, but she thinks Ginger also needs to do her makeup better. But her comedic timing more than made up for that, and her commitment to the character was obvious. But she gets great acting notes. It's just her face and her appearance that they don't like.
Right.
Which, been there, honey.
Girl, it happens sometimes.
Yeah. And Jan is also told that her hair looks matronly, and she needs to compete against the other queens, not with them. Which I don't understand. What does that mean?
I don't, because, you know, the opposite could be said. It could be like, oh, you were stealing the scene, or you were steamrolling. So I think they just don't like her.
Yeah, I feel like they're calling bullshit cow poop to Jan's face and saying, "No, this is different. You'll like this. This will be helpful." But I also feel like they're dog walking Jan. So when she wins that RuPaul's Drag Race singing show thing that they're trying to do, which they won't let me audition for,
that is not allowed to audition.
No, they won't let me. That is what
they won't let you.
No, what? They won't let me.
Send it a tape. No one ever casts from tape.
You guys should do a duet.
I look to Ru. I look to Ru. After my DQ is gone, a decade's been so long. I look to Ru, RuPaul Andre Charles.
Let's go to Gonzo.
I'm singing.
He can't
song.
Do that while I'm singing.
He's chewing gum. I think Jan's gonna win the singing competition show. So Jan,
okay,
don't kill yourself yet. There's hope with World of Wonder down the road.
I hope to see that, because it is just, and I think they're trying to press Jan toward a breakdown on camera, is what I think is happening.
Whenever I don't know which way to go, I go Jan toward.
Jan toward the South African singing group.
Oh, she was a bitch to me at the airport once. I told her I liked her band, and she gave me an up down, and then she turned right around, and I said, not during Pride Month,
girl.
And I was in the diamond line.
No, they're shady. They're shady ladies.
Do you want to know about more famous people I met? No.
I mean, I really do.
There's this girl named Alaska.
The moment. This is the moment that we've all been waiting for. The curtain goes up. The lip sync is set. Well, Trinity K. Bonet is poised and ready for the lip sync. And she's like, "Do you want to meet the lip sync assassin?"
Meh.
Which is funny.
Trinity's hair is lovely.
Eating it up. Yeah.
I think she did a nail change too.
Girl, is she better? She is that drag girl.
Uh-huh.
We always knew she was. She's
props
a sensitive soul. She's an emotional creature, and she's the fucking drag bitch glamazon on the runway.
Mm-hmm.
So the curtain slowly opens and there's no one there.
Nobody.
I saw an edit someone did of Gia Gunn going, "What, is there not a budget this time around?" Or, which is very funny.
Well, I was wondering how Laganja got there at all, because nobody's supposed to be here.
How did you get here?
No. So nobody's there, but then you hear, oh, y'all wanted a twist, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And Laganja Estranja is shot out of Merle Ginsburg's asshole from backstage.
Out of Morgan McMichael's ping pong asshole.
And she is beautifully bequeathed in Derek Michael boots, Howie B. Couture, Zach Killian hair, and a tiny little hat, which actually fits her head and is not a tiny hat. It's actually a real hat that's just tiny.
This is one of those moments,
wearing kimchi makeup.
Oh, it was so gratifying to see this because it's a culmination of so many years of, I mean, you want to talk about a redemption moment.
This
is really Laganja coming back. She knows who she is now more than she did on season 6. So much time has passed. She's only gotten better. She's never looked better. She came in this short segment. I mean, it's what, 2 minutes of television? She got in so many lines, so many catchphrases. She showed who she is and where she's at now. This was a groundbreaking, excellent, fantastic moment.
And
for Ms. Laganja Estrange.
She knew where every camera was.
Baby!
Smiling in the wide shots. She was
Mom.
Resplendent, beautiful, and she got the memo, she understood the assignment, and she wore a travel bob. And the travel bob was done by this guy named...
I need to know. Do they tell them to wear a travel bob? Or do girls just do this now?
Honey, are you new? You have to wear a travel bob because if you're carrying bags, your bags get caught on your hair. So you can't wear anything but a bob. That would be a great wig.
But a bob. But a bob.
Wigs by Vanity's new but a bob.
Yeah, on Laganja's YouTube
Wigs
channel,
for everybody except Bob.
She has a whole video documenting her getting ready to do this experience.
I watched it twice.
It's so good.
I was so happy for her, just seeing her like come into the glory that she belongs in. You know, this is everything that she worked for, and she figured out everything that she thought the world didn't like about her, I feel like. And then she flipped it and she gave us the most true version of herself.
Yeah.
And this is, and people love her, and I love her. And I think this is, I'm so happy to see her here.
Yeah. And the judging panel were like, oh, now we like this.
They're like, ooh, drag. And you get
now
to pick
like
what
these things.
You get to pick what you're wearing. Ooh.
We sent you home for talking this way, but now we like it. now we approve of this.
RuPaul's like, ooh, make some sounds like an owl on Molly. Yeah, we love it now.
Yeah. Now we like this. Now that I speak like this on Stephen Colbert, I like this. I approve of this.
Yeah.
It's wild. It's an amazing lip sync. And I have to say, Trinity K. Bonet holds her own. If it was me, for me personally, I would have removed my wig and just bowed to Laganja and let her do her thing and been like, I'm going to lay down on the train tracks like Tammy Brown.
I would have asked Scarlett to come up to me and do crunches with me because it is a song about getting physical. I would have asked for the Satan-sized girls to do a little aerobics behind me.
Yes.
Was it Satan-er size? What was it called?
Satan-er size. But Trinity K. Bonet holds her own. She does a great job. But at the end of the lip sync, she just looks over at Laganja and she's like, I know how this... I can't. There's no competing with this.
After Laganja's entrance, Trinity literally says, that first part doesn't count.
That first doesn't count, y'all.
And you think she's joking, but there is a seed of truth in every joke.
She's like, please, we need to ask the jury to not consider that first stunt in their deliberations, please.
Honey, I can't say enough nice things about Laganja.
Such a moment.
Other than she lied to us, she said that she did not fall from the ceiling because I had heard that she did, and then she said she didn't, and she didn't. She fell from the side. She fell from the sky side.
She wanted to come out of the ceiling.
They wouldn't let her.
No, it's a safety issue.
Yeah.
And I can see that because she'd be dead. It's like a 20-foot. It's like a really, really high.
She'd be fine. She's medicated.
So exciting to see, but really, really sad. Like, we instantly, she pulls out her lipstick from her brassiere, and it says, oh, wait, where the fuck did Laganja's little hat come from? Because she wasn't wearing it at the beginning, was she?
No.
She put it on after.
She put it on after.
Where was it hidden?
That's none of your business.
Part of the shoulder piece. Maybe it, one of those
No.
So, when she threw it at Silky's eye.
And she got her, and it was a big zipper, too. Honestly, I think Silky, the lipstick was in that tearaway that she gave to Silky, and Silky was like, here's your jacket. Oh, shit, this is my name.
It was really sad to see Silky go in this moment, because she gives this like really beautiful speech, and like it was really sad. It like it gave me some tears. It was really sad.
So Silky went home. The girls in Untucked were talking about how great they want to be about their Fix It Bitch, and they want to do a girl group. They want to do a song, and they're Their Fix It Bitch song is actually better than some of the girls' Drag Race songs already. Why are you mad, though? I'm not. I think it's a great song.
A few things. What else happens in Untucked? I don't know. Not much. Everyone's just like nice to each other. And
I love that Laganja got three wigs for one 2-minute performance. She has three different wig options. One that's looked like the... like Nina West as an after picture, just big curly wigs by tips, one of those. And that was the no for me. And then there was another, a banged out rainbow wig. Mm. And that was her travel wig. But when she put on that Human by Mr. Zach Killian with the shadow root, I went, oh, that's the one. That's the one.
She made the right decision. She made the right decision.
Scarlett and Raja have a lovely emotional conversation about their conflict from season 11. They address it. They're both older and mature women now, and they're in a different spot. And they do the I love you. No, I love you. I love you.
I love hugging and kissing and Untucked.
I like crying and screaming more. I prefer a season 4 Untucked over a season 6 All Stars Untucked much more.
I will whoop your fucking ass.
I am from the Illinois region of Chicago.
Well, we might get it because, you know, at the end, Silky, after she hears there's a twist, what does she say?
She says, season 11, Silky is back, bitches.
And we are happy to see it. And I can't wait to see what she does and what she brings and what the fuck this twist is. I cannot wait.
Because she was ready to do so.
If I had to lip sync, I would be ready. And then she throws the corset at Laganja. She throws the cover up.
Damn. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Race Chaser this week. My name is Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And we would love for you to write a review of our podcast on your podcast app. And don't forget to write in and tell me who else I've worked with that's famous. You can also subscribe and take a moment to leave us a rating.
That's right. And you can follow the dolls at Willem at the only Alaska 5000.
She said my name.
Our Race Chaser account is at Race Chaser Pod. Our Mom Podcast account is at Mom Podcast. And you can always contact us by calling 1-800-2-UGLY. Call us anytime.
Operators are kneeling by. We also have bonus content available at patreon.com/Willem.
Willem.
And you can search for that Race Chaser content by searching the Race Chaser hashtag. Race Chaser. And have you seen our Chromatica Oreo baking challenge video? It's just released this week, and 5 bakers give it 5 thumbs middle.
Down.
It was
all
delicious.
5 fingers down.
My throat.
You can email us at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, and stay safe, get the vaccine, socially distance yourself, and wear a mask, even if you have the vaccine. Respect each other out in the world, too.
Hallelujah.
Respect.
Your mother's frocks don't fit so well.
That part, that was funny. Race Chaser.
Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, audio, and video clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and or copyright holders.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser with Alaskan Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.